Get this. The church was never meant to be an audience. The church was meant to be an army. Too often, many of us slip into the mindset, and I guarantee you I've done this, what do I get out of worship? I've had the joy of serving with you for 7 years. I've often heard us talk about what God could do or might do with us. So often, we've pushed God's plans into the future. Someday I'll serve. Someday I'm going to share my faith. Someday I'm going to go deeper with Christ. Church, what I'm bringing to you this morning is, I hope, an excitement that says, someday is not the call of the gospel. Today is the call of the gospel. God's timeline is today. Right now, God is on the move in this church like never before. People are coming to Christ through this church. Lives are being transformed. His Spirit is working in you and in me in the most powerful ways. Church, we are not spectators. We are participants. This is our moment to lean forward and be a part of His glory and of His story. This message ain't about Shaq. This message is about Jesus Christ. It's about His Spirit, His mission, His vision that He has put on our hearts, and hopefully we're leading and the Spirit is leading and encouraging it to be on your heart. We're not here to keep the lights on. We're not here to keep the seats warm. Today, it was pretty cold in here, so David moved over and turned on the air conditioning. Mike, we fixed it, buddy. We're here today together, and I hope we're all about winning souls for the Lord. We are here to build each other up. We're here to let God stretch us beyond what we've dared to imagine. As the elders do, and I know many of you can personally affirm, when we step up and embrace the Lord's mission, God opens doors. He puts people in our pathway, and He's changing lives through you and me and the Holy Spirit active in us. Take a minute and look around this room. It's okay. You can go ahead and twist your neck and look around this room. You see it. There are new members that are stepping in. There are former members that are coming back. There are returning visitors who are requesting to place membership with this family. And there are so many faithful members, long-time servants that are actively involved in this place and in this work. I want you to feel it. I want you to see it. I want you to experience it. I want you to get excited about the fact that we are equipped for greatness here in this place. The Spirit is alive right here, right now. New fellowship is coming on board and forming. Relationships are deepening. Lives are being transformed and ministries are multiplying. People are signing up to do things. They're bringing new opportunities for us to get involved and to honor God with. Souls are being drawn to Jesus Christ. Hearts are being changed. Church, we are part of what's happening now. I'll say it again. Lives are being changed. There's an excitement in this place because the Spirit is alive. It's not because of the cleverness or of the elders or the plans that we are praying about. It's because you are at work and the Spirit is in you, incentivizing you and guiding you and equipping all of us shaping us as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ on active duty. We are not Romeo here, retired old men eating out. We are a family of the Lord that's on fire working. Let's celebrate that truth. God is alive and moving at North Tampa, and his work is glorious, unstoppable, and life-changing. North Tampa, listen up. We are a loving church on the move. We are winning souls. We're building disciples. We're defeating Satan right here, right now. But hear me clearly, church. It's not time to sit back and relax. We must not rest on our laurels. We cannot take a knee and just watch. You do that on Saturday afternoons in the college football games, not when you're serving the Lord. We cannot and must not be only consumers. We need to be participants. God has called us to action, and he's equipped us already. We need to continue being doers. Okay, Shackelford, that's all a bunch of bunk. You haven't told me how to be a doer. All right, heads up. We're going to have six ways this morning that you can be a doer. Some of you are already doing this. Some of you need to do it. All of you need to pray about it, because that's what we shepherds are doing for you, is asking you to be a doer. Our first one comes from the Apostle Paul telling new Christians in Greece that God is faithful and he wants you to be bold. The scripture is 1 Thessalonians 5:24. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Thank you, Stacy, for going through the scriptures this morning. God is not just calling you and leaving you and me on our own. The one who calls us is completely faithful. Whatever he asks, whatever he goes, wherever he takes us, he will give us the strength and the courage and the resources to do it. So step out boldly, church, with us as we lead, because God is with us every step of the way. Amen? He's always been faithful to his people. We've looked around and you've seen living testimonies in the faces of the members of this congregation where prayers have been answered, lives have been transformed, and there's a future full of promises. So why do we hesitate? We stay safe in our routines. My family will tell you I am a creature of habit. I like being on a routine. I like being on time. Sometimes it drives the family crazy. But I'll tell you one thing. They can't say that I'm timid about not stepping in. Oftentimes stepping in too frequently. Wendy will tell you I say yes to too many people. And when you say yes to too many people, you're saying no to somebody, right? Boldness, by the way, does not mean that it's reckless. Boldness is a confidence that God has put on my heart and I hope is on your heart. We don't need to play it safe. We just need to be reasonable and not trying to say, I got this, God. I don't have anything, but God has it all. And that's where we are, church. It's a confidence that provides you and me the strength and the resources and the wisdom needed to complete the task. Here's some examples of what I know you do here. You share your faith with a coworker or a neighbor. It's a good way to be a doer, is even when it feels uncomfortable, share God, through your life, through your example, through a prayer. Or maybe you just answer by listening. Step into a ministry role is another way to be a doer. You don't feel ready until you step in when he calls. Don't worry. If he calls you, he's going to equip you. Take the first step to reconcile a broken relationship. Trust that God will supply you with the courage and the words. All right, number two takeaway. This time the Apostle Peter is writing to encourage the Christians scattered across Asia Minor to serve faithfully and live out their faith. In 1 Peter 4, in the verses 10, it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That applies more than ever to me and you. Get this. The church was never meant to be an audience. The church was meant to be an army. Too often, many of us slip into the mindset, and I guarantee you I've done this, what do I get out of worship? That song leader, that prayer, those comments, what do I get out of worship? That's really tacky. What I need to be asking, and you need to be asking, how can I pour myself into worship and service? This church is too gifted and too spirit-filled, too talented to sit on the sidelines. As I've mentioned many times, and Bill Hemphill used to say this to me all the time, we're a church of spectators. We need to be more producers. Church, we're not spectators. We're disciples that want to participate. Not just recipients of grace, but agents of grace. God gave you a unique gift, and he's not giving it to you to keep it a secret. He's given it to us to bless the body and build his kingdom in this community. When you move from consuming to participating, you stop asking, what do I get out of it? You start declaring, look what God is doing through me. Amen? Here's some examples of how to be a doer in this regard. You know as well as I do, there are a group of people, sisters and brothers, who quietly send cards of encouragement each week or each month. These acts of encouragement keep weary hearts filled. There's men and women right now up there in the crow's nest. They're there every week, not to seek recognition, but to ensure that the worship service runs smoothly through technology utilization. Each month, the leadership gets a report of the people that are viewing us online. During the early days of COVID, there were 16 people that viewed us online. Now it's averaging over 400 people a month that are doing it. And here's what just is amazing to me. There are people in the States that are not members of this congregation, and they send funds to work, be used in the work of this church. Is that amazing? It is just heart-filling. Thank you, Crow's Nest folks, for what you do. You're connecting the world with what's happening here. Families open their homes for small groups. They turn their living rooms into places of prayer and fellowship and discipleship. Or, as many of you know, there are a couple of groups that meet in the building here. And what you may not know, there's a group of young adult females that meet in a coffee shop for fellowship and studying the Bible. Those are just examples of how folks can be doers. All right, number three way to be a doer. This is coming through the Apostle Mark from Jesus, and it's coming out of Mark 12 and 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. During the exciting times that you gave me the honor of teaching this class about the Holy Spirit, we talked about how the Holy Spirit nudges us. We learn to stop dabbling in faith. Or better yet, to stop doing what? Giving God what's left over. God is asking us to be all in. All in means your faith goes with you into the workplace, your school, your friendships, your neighborhood. It means worship is not just on Sunday morning. It's a 24/7 endeavor. Amen? It means saying, Lord, here am I, send me. I had a shepherd colleague that says, Shackelford, you need to wake up and understand that half-hearted Christianity has never changed the world. Wholehearted discipleship always changes the world. We are not half-hearted in this place. We are on the verge of fantastic discipling, and we have to be ready by being doers. When you're all in, obedience is not optional. It's a joyful surrender. Being all in, and I can attest to this, doesn't mean perfection. It means direction. Every choice, big or small, points toward Jesus Christ. So, what does it look like to be all in? It means you tell the truth with grace, even if it costs us your popularity. In our relationships, we forgive fully instead of holding grudges. For 26 years, I held a grudge against one of the families that lived next to my mom and dad. It happened to be my mom's sister's grandkids. We let them live in the house down from mom and dad. Cindy and I were in Germany. And all of a sudden, on leave one year, I found out that my mom and my dad were paying $20 for every light bulb that those two kids that were getting a free house were charging my mom and dad to come over and change the light bulbs in the house. They didn't have $20 to give them, first of all. But the worst part of that story is, I held on to it for 16 years before I ever came to forgive those kids for doing it. Shame on me. Don't hold the grudge. Give it up. It's not worth ruining your life to hold a grudge to somebody because they've offended you. When you're serving, you're giving your time and your talent and your resources, not when it's most convenient, but when it's needed. In our daily life, you probably heard it on Joy FM, first thing in the morning before you get out of bed, talk to God. Move that into another sentence that says, Lord my God, how can I glorify you today? Number four, we're getting there, church. Our Apostle Matthew recorded Jesus' command very vividly when he says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. That's over in Matthew 28:19. Our mission at North Tampa is not survival. It's multiplication. It's to be all we can be. Not to fill seats, not to keep them warm, not to keep the lights on, but to receive seekers and new believers and put them on the journey with Jesus Christ. God places people in our pathway to be encouraged, to be studied with, or walked beside. Each of us should have someone or some many that we're praying for. Caring people in our hearts, looking for the chance to have a conversation about Jesus. I was in a church in Coldwater, Mississippi, that they had a sign in the front of the church that says, "The Church of Christ meets here." You know what? They kept a secret. They kept the gospel a secret because they never went outside the four walls of the building. The attitude was, "We got it, y'all come get it." Thank the Lord, that's not what we do here. We are a people that brings the word through all mechanisms that we can, but most importantly, through your example. Number five, how to be a doer. Recognize that you and I and this congregation are equipped for greatness. As Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 3 and 20, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, that is at work within us, within you and with me." You have the faith, faith that moves mountains. We have momentum that's already changed lives. We have talents here, talents that are ready, talents that have already been deployed. And most of all, I hope you all realize the Holy Spirit is alive in this place. He's empowering and encouraging us every step. Here's the tough part. The only thing left is your willingness. The only question is, will you step into it? Will you believe, like never before, that God is using this church to shake up Tampa and Wesley Chapel, San Antonio, Lutz, Land O'Lakes, Zephyr Hills, Odessa, Trinity, and Brooksville, not to mention, he's already in Spring Hill working. Our neighboring communities are what's happening now with us. We are not waiting to be great. We are a church that's already equipped for greatness. This is our moment. Let's not waste it. Number six. Apostle Paul wrote to church in Colossae, urging the believers to focus on eternal priorities. That was over in Colossians 3 and 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Every one of you has a passion. Some of you, some of me, mostly me, are passionate about sports and cruises and golfing, hand and foot card games, cars, trucks, boats, clothes, food, and hobbies. Those things certainly are not bad, but guess what? They will not last forever. Many of us enjoyed hearing some of the summer series that Neil put together with Andrew, finding Wednesday night speakers. One of the last guys here was a fellow out of Winter Haven named Slate. He challenged us to choose a passion that will outlive us. He urged us to choose a passion that will echo into eternity. And ever since that Wednesday night, I've been asking these questions, and now, church, I'm getting it off my heart and giving it to you. Are you passionate about discipling someone younger in the faith? If you do, that will last. Are you passionate about raising your kids to know Jesus Christ? If you do, that will last. Are you passionate about serving the poor, the lonely, the hurting? Church, that will last. Are you passionate about seeing this church thrive, united like never before, and faithful to accommodate all the folks that are going to be coming in here? Church, that will last. You got it? God is calling us to even greater things. Every one of you are needed. Every gift you have and talent you've been blessed with is ready to be used. Not just attending, but being the church. Okay, if you hadn't heard a word yet, as the old science professor used to do. We elders have been in prayer and discernment focus for several months. We've been pleading to get God's direction for this place. Before the end of this year, 2025, we are going to share with you our clear vision for reaching more souls in Christ, along with a facilities expansion plan. A plan that supports making disciples, teaching disciples, fellowshipping disciples. A plan that the Holy Spirit has inspired. We're fine-tuning it now, but our commitment is before the end of 2025, Lord willing, it's going to be our plan with you. I ask you to pray for wisdom, pray for unity, and pray for us to still be with the courage to prepare us and you for even greater things. God is stirring something at North Tampa that we have got to take advantage of. We see, and you are, a church with love that's committed to truth and eager to bring disciples to Christ. It's not being called to take a knee or settle for the average. It's being called to consume more than we contribute. We are on a rise to higher ground, to serve, to participate, to love and lead boldly. Together, we're going to make this happen. We're going to harvest the greatness that God's already put on us. He's ready for each one of us to be in this together for His glory. This thing right here, this check sheet, is part of the closing question that says, what are you passionate about? Where are you going to step in? Where are you going to step up? Where are you going to be a doer of the word? You have a week to answer, what am I passionate about? Please don't give it a quick answer until you've prayed about it, written it down, testing it against eternity. If it doesn't last beyond this life, it's not big enough. It's not just your homework, church. It's a heart check. It'll shape your decisions, your service, your giving, your energy, your time. Remember, passion drives discipleship. Passion fuels evangelism. Passion determines whether you're a consumer or a participant. God has planted greatness here. Your passion is rooted in Him. We're living for today where blessings are for tomorrow. When you let the Spirit nudge you, the Lord's going to lead you. Your impact will echo into eternity. That's all I got, folks. I love you. I appreciate you, and we need you with us on the journey with Jesus Christ. In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing. Remember, faith is the action. If you need prayer right now, we can do that. If God's calling you to come on the journey through baptism, we can take care of that too. The idea is, it's all on you. Be a doer, not a spectator. Let us come alongside of you in fellowship and love as we honor God with our lives. Let's stand and sing.